For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Welcome, everyone. So this week is actually the seventh of the series, which is that, you know, the after Tisha B'Av, where we had the haftorahs of sadness, doom and gloom, so to speak, or the destruction and the pattern of that the Jewish people slid into. Now we lead up to the high holidays, a pattern of comfort and of love. And this is the final haftorah before Rosh Hashanah, which is a Rosh Hashanah is a, even though it's a scary holiday, so to speak, because we're facing justice and we're faced being judged. And judgment is never, we're always worried about judgment. We never know how it'll come out. At the same time, we know that Hashem judges with love and that he's rooting for us, so to speak. And there's an idea that Rosh Hashanah leads to Yom Kippur and leads to Sukkot, where we hold the trophy up, so to speak, when we hold the lulav and esrog, or we show that you know, that we've won the judgment, so to speak, or that we have we believe the process of reviewing our deeds and trying to get rid of the bad ones and fixing the bad ones is a process that is to our benefit, because if we waited until the end of our lives, they would amass. You know, all the bad deeds that a person has would be so much that there'd be no way to get rid of them. But this year, this way, out of Hashem's love for us, once a year we get a chance to look at ourselves and see where we're going and see what we need to fix. And so, Rosh Hashanah is a holiday of love. It's a holiday of a special closeness to Hashem. The song is Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. You look at the prayers, it's all about the closeness that we feel to Hashem and the honor that we have to serve Him. And in some ways, we're really like angels on Rosh Hashanah. It's a hard holiday because we're not used to being angels and judgment is always scary. But the idea of love and of connection, and that comes through. And you really see that from the Haftorah. The Haftorah gets into messianic times. There's also a judgment at the end of days, a judgment at the end of a person's life. And so we begin with the following on 1202. Sost Asis. The ultimate is that we will celebrate together with Hashem. And that's a pretty good celebration when we can celebrate. There's no joy like the joy with the Creator and like the knowing that. So Sosius, that's like a double expression. And Sos, Sason, is like even higher than Simcha, even higher than, it's like the ultimate joy. And we'll rejoice in Hashem. That's a, when a person does, acts godlike or does acts in the way that Hashem created him, there's like an inner joy, it's a radiance. Tagel nafshi belokai. And what I'll really be happy, that this word tagel is the same word as gila. Gila, there's some women who have that name, Gila, because it's a name of a joy or a happiness. A lot of women's names have to do with joy. It's just interesting. Rina, Gila, you know, Chedva, they're all, that's because it's just telling, like how, you know, we choose those names because we want people to be happy and to be songs of praise and joy to Hashem. So there are quite a few. But we do Gila. My soul, my nefesh, my being will rejoice. You know why? Because it's a personal God. And we're supposed to have a personal relationship with Hashem. We begin the Shemoneh Esrei, we say, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. He's the God of our forefather. That was a long time ago. But before that, he's Elokeinu. He's our God. And we need to work on that. In other words, we need to have a private relationship with Hashem. And sometimes it's easier than others. Like we all have moments in our life where, you know, sometimes we have that quiet moment where it's really okay to talk to Hashem. You know, really, when we daven, we're supposed to be talking to Hashem. You know, like, sometimes people look at, why, he's really talking to Hashem? What do you think we've been doing three times a day? But we have to really talk in a personal way. We have to, and it's hard because he doesn't, you know, when we talk to a person, we hear what their answers are. When we talk to Hashem, we have to feel the answers. We have to imagine the answers. And so it's much different. It's a harder form of communication when we don't feel it. Most people do feel it, though. Most people, at some point, they feel that Hashem is answering them. Now, sometimes it's not the answer we want. In other words, sometimes the Hashem answers us. It's not in the way we would have liked or what we expected, but we feel that. I think I told you when I went to Israel at some point. Again, it didn't happen right away. I felt like Hashem said to me, "Where have you been?" You know, like it was like, you know, you've been away too long, or But sometimes a person feels that Hashem speaks to him, and we hope that in all the hours and the high holidays we put in, that we get those moments where we have. But we've got to try to do the personal part, and it's really rough because prayer is so regimented that we have all these prayers, what to say. But there is a personal part in it. A person has to look for those personal moments. So a person says, I am going to be extra happy, Belokai, and my God, me, personally, what Hashem did for me. And Hashem allows me to wear special clothes. Now, the clothing, we believe that the body is the clothing of the soul. It's like when we clothe ourselves, it's like we put on certain things. And so we'll be able to put on clothing of salvation. I don't know what the salvation clothing sounds like, Salvation Army. But so salvation clothing, in other words, we'll put on clothing of the clothes we wear or what we express are sometimes of conflict or of challenge or of judgment. But eventually we'll put on we'll wear a feeling that Hashem has saved us. Me'il tzedakah, clothing of righteousness. And we will dress up. Now, it's very interesting, the imagery over here. He says we'll dress up like a groom who's like a kohen and like a bride with her jewelry. There's a special moment, you know, when you see the bride and groom, it's one of those moments in life where you see, like, there's a certain feeling there that that's their moment, that's their... So we will be like that bride and groom to Hashem. Part of that moment is that a person reaches a completion in life. They reach a stage. And so with Hashem, He completes our life. And so we will have that moment. What does it mean like a Kohen? The Kohanim wore special clothing. It had to be new. It couldn't be stained. I've always wondered how they kept the clothing clean in the temple, you know, with all the sacrifices and all the meat. You ever try to eat a roast and something, you know, you have to have a bib, or, you know, the Kohanim had, you know, it's the Gemara talks about what they used to use to clean, you know, they used certain minerals in the water, they had ways of getting the clothing of the Kohanim was special. It had to have a certain, it was expensive, very expensive clothing. And the Kohanim had to have special haircuts. They had to be well groomed. If they were injured or they had a wound, they weren't allowed to go up there. If they were blemished, you know, a hunchback or something, they couldn't go and do the service because they represented a certain feeling towards Hashem. And so there was a certain glory about the Kohen. The Kohen Gadol had to be, he couldn't do the service unless he was well groomed, unless he had, were described as like the groom who's like the Kohen, like the Kohen Gadol in his glory. There's a whole prayer on the High Holidays about describing the Kohen Gadol, like when he came out, beforehand there was a lot of worry that, you know, we didn't know whether atonement would be received and how the Jewish people, the Kohen Gadol would have the wrong thoughts, he could be stricken dead. A lot of times the Kohanim didn't make it. So when the Kohen Gadol came out, he glowed. There was just, it's no other way to say it. Like it was like such a beam that they wrote a poem. You know, it's in the High Holiday Liturgy. It's a song about just looking at the Kohen Gadol was like it was a sight to be seen. Now, you're talking about a person who was up the whole night. You know, they had to stay up the night before because they wanted to make sure he didn't get impure, and they prepared for weeks ahead of time. And they would come in, and after the service, he glowed, and it was just like it was something to see. Now, what is the bride with the jewelry? What kind of jewelry are you talking about? So we have a tradition about Jewish jewelry. What anybody know what it is? At Har Sinai, when we said Naseh Nishma, we will do. So we got two crowns. That's a crown was like the jewelry, was like the crown jewelry. And so the bride with the jewelry is the crown of the Jewish people accepting the Torah. They wore a crown, that a certain royalty. Royalty is like a leadership. When we received the Torah, we all became leaders. And we think, you know, we look at the jewelry and say, oh, that looks like fun to wear, but it's a responsibility. It's a beautiful responsibility. But that's the bride with the jewelry. The jewelry is the crowns. Okay, verse 11. Kika eretz totzi simcha. Now, just like when you plant stuff, it grows. You know, sometimes you grow weeds, but things grow. You know, it doesn't say what grows. From, you know, you plant stuff in the dirt, it grows. Okay, gan Israel. And if you have a garden, things are going to grow. Kain Hashem Elokeinu yetzmik tzedakah. So what does Hashem grow? Hashem grows righteousness. That's an interesting expression. Hashem, in other words, deeds of righteousness, of goodness. Utehila neged kol hagoyim. There'll be the world will start sprouting. Right now we live in a world where there's a lot of tragedy and a lot of injustice. And in these messianic times, when we'll come close to Hashem, there will be a world where you'll see more justice and praise. And it won't just be with the Jewish people, it will be the whole world. So you might think we're done. You know, we'll have that, you know, close relationship with Hashem, we'll celebrate, we'll clothe ourselves in glory, we'll be wearing the jewels and the robes and all the good stuff. So what else is there? So he begins, we can't forget about the land of Israel. But not only the land of Israel, we don't want this to be a one-time thing. We want it to be in a way that there'll be a permanence to it, that there'll be a permanent place for Hashem's presence to dwell in, and to be a place where the world can come to and learn about Hashem. So, therefore, he says, if you ever wondered how for 2,000 years people love the land of Israel, like what makes people love a land that they never knew and they never saw? And, you know, some of us have land pretty good over here. Why do we need to go to Israel? But it's ingrained in us. Leman Sion lo esh. I'll never be quiet for the Zion, which is here. It means the place of the Beis Hamikdash. Sheman Yerushalayim lo eshkot. That's the word sheket. Sheket means to be quiet, right? That's the one word we all learned in Hebrew school. Sheket, bevakasha, right? Sheket is it. So that's eshkot is the verb. Because of Israel, I'm not going to be quiet. In other words, it's okay, fine, the Mashiach's here, everything's great, but that's not enough. We need to have Israel rebuilt and to be the light unto the nations. So, Laman Yushalayim Lo'ed, I won't be quiet. Ad Yetzei Kanoga, it's going to be like a noga, like a bright light. And it's going to be a light of tzedakah, of righteousness. V'yeshuasa kalapid, it'll be like a torch. It'll be like a flaming torch. A light, you know, you think about it, the sun shines, and it's, you know, billions of miles away, but it provides energy, and it provides light, and it's life-giving. It's describing Yerushalayim will be that light for the world. It'll be this source of energy and light. Verse 2, Urah Goyim, and the nations, till now, they always had their own ideas about what was good, what was bad. The Europeans are doing euthanasia now with kids. I don't know if you read about that. About people whose lives aren't worth living, and they're just going back to ideas that the Nazis had. It's really something. I think it was in the Netherlands that they were talking about that. They've already had legal suicide, but now they've started. I'm just pointing out that we live in a world that has funny ideas about righteousness. They have just strange ideas that people are still, they want to save the planet, but they don't want to save people. You know, if we put our resources, Africa's a basket case. You know, the Middle East is a basket. People that are just being, you know, harmed, and nobody's doing anything. And the world is more into causes. They want to save the world. They want to save the whales, but they don't want to help people. It's just. And these are the good ones. I'm not talking about the bad ones. I'm talking about the charities. I'm talking about the And you know what the good cause is to fixing the world is to create a separate bathroom for people that are mixed up about who they are, right? That's the important cause of the. That's if you're a good person and you want to really like make the world a better place, that's what they tell you. You have to make parades to It's just we live in a mixed up world. What can I tell you? And the ideas are not all bad. I mean, the communists weren't all bad either. They wanted to help the workers out. That's a great thing, but can't take away things from other people to help the workers out. And you want to condemn all the leaders so you could be the leader. But there are some good ideas there. It's good to be concerned about don't want to leave the world a mess for other people to clean up. Absolutely. And you don't want to hurt the animals. World, it's not nice either, but when they just become an excuse not to be good people and not to help others, it becomes a distraction. And we just live in a world where there's just a lot of sadness out there, a lot of distraction, and we need people to see righteousness, and so all the nations will see the righteousness. And not only the nations, their leaders. Now Israel will get a new name. They'll get a new name, Asher Pi Hashem, and Hashem will set the name. And he'll explain. Vahaya, be a new beginning. We need to start new every now and then. That's the idea also of Rosh Hashanah. You need a newness. You need to look at things new. You need a new start, a new beginning. People tend to go, they get in a rut, they go in a certain path, and that's one of the advantages of Rosh Hashanah is that there's a newness. Vayisi Ateres Tiferes B'yad Hashem. And we will be a crown of glory, and Hashem will be the jewel in the crown. Utsnif malucha b'kaf elokayak, and we'll be Hashem will be proud of us, the land of Israel and the Jewish people. Meaning that our goal was to be a light unto the nations, to be a role model. We haven't always lived up to that role, or it hasn't been where it needs to be. So Hashem says, in the future, you'll live up to that goal. People would go to Israel and they would say, "This is what's the expression? God forsaken? That there was a land that was just an empty land, a land of deserts and a land of old relics." People who've been to Israel, they used to say they don't care for it very much. People go to Israel to do Israel a favor. They would go there because they want to do Israel a favor, and our people have been through so much, we want to help. But you should go to Israel because you want to go to Israel because it's a beautiful land and it has a lot to offer. And the main thing is it's a place where you can get close to Hashem. If people go there and they think that they want to see other things, they don't know. But they won't call that land a rejected, abandoned land. Lo yamod shmama. They're not going to call it a land of shmama, which is desolate and empty. Ki lecha yikra chefsibo. It's going to be a land where everybody wants. It's going to be a land of desire, because people are going to want to get close to Hashem, and that's the best place to do it. And they won't call it an empty land. It'll be a land which has the man of the house is home, so to speak. That the man of the house is Hashem. Hashem is going to be the man of the house, so he's going to be the one there. Ki chafetz Hashem. Hashem desires to be there. And Hashem's presence will be felt. First, ki yivah bachur basula. Now, just like you have a young person, a young man and a young woman, they are the perfect match, and they're comfortable with each other. So too, Hashem will be comfortable with Hashem's presence. Sometimes people don't know what to do with religion. They see it as harsh. They see it as extreme. It doesn't fit. So Hashem is saying that it's just going to be like the young bride and young groom. When you're young, people are able to. They're like the perfect match. They'll grow together. They'll match up together. One of the reasons why today marriages are such a challenge are that people get married older, and so they're already very set in their ways, and there's less chance of success when people get married. It's just harder, much harder. When people get married younger, that statistically the marriages last longer. Even though when people are young and foolish, I got that, but that's the description here is when a young man marries a young woman, so just like we rejoice and we look at the future. But the idea is that we feel like we're an old people. We've been around for thousands. there was that British historian used to call us the dinosaur or a relic. You know, you Jews are like the, you know, you're like the ancient, you know, it's old-fashioned people. Who need you? What do you have to offer? You know, it's old, tired ideas. So Hashem says, this is going to be, we come back, we're going to be like a bride and groom. There's nothing like a young bride and groom. There's such a happiness. They have so much to look forward to. And so Hashem describes the times like a bride and groom, just like a young bride and groom. That's going to be our relationship. And even though, you know, there's so many Rosh Hashanahs, we stood in front of Hashem and we said, we're going to be better, we're going to get it right. And then we stand up and we say, well, I blew last year. And so Hashem says, don't worry, you know, we're going to start over. It's going to be just like brand new, just like the first time. And that's the description over here. Yosis alayik Elohim, your God, your personal God will rejoice over you. This is already plural, the Jewish people. Verse 6, Alcha Musaik Yerushalayim. Now, Hashem says there'll be people on the walls. On your walls of Yerushalayim, Hefkadeti, there'll be guardians. Kol Hayom will be there day and night. So, some people say this refers to Jews that always think of Yerushalayim, that always, there used to be a custom to wake up in the middle of the night and pray for Israel. That was what they used to call Tikkun Chatzos, waking up in the midnight. King David used to play his harp in the middle of the night and pray for Israel. And the guardians of the walls, so to speak, are the people that who would be there. They actually turned this into a song, but Al Chamusayik Yerushalayim, on your walls, or being concerned about the permanence of Yerushalayim. Hefkadeti Shomer, we have to guard what Yerushalayim stands for. And it's going to be day and night. Tami lo ya meskir mes Hashem. Let's not rest until we have that idea where Yerushalayim will have the guardians. Now, you have to guard something because certain things, if they're not guarded, they won't happen. And so there are people that are waiting for it and that guard it. Va'atit in demela. And don't be quiet. Ad yechonen, until it's set. Ad yosim Yerushalayim, until Israel, until Yerushalayim is the praise of the land. It needs people that will worry about it and be concerned about it and be the guards, be the first one to make sure that the holiness is there. Verse 8, Nishba Hashem b'yamino. Now, how do we know this is going to happen? Hashem swears by his right arm. The right arm is the strong arm of his royal Uzzah and the arm of his strength. Yimetenes nagdecha od Michael oivecha. Now, some people said, well, we were there once, and it didn't last. And then we're there again, and it didn't last. So why should we go back? Who says it's going to last? So Hashem says, no, that ain't going to happen. That's never going to happen again. And Hashem swore, it's not going to happen. That you will never have to work, and it'll be given to your enemies. We've built up other countries, and the Jews have been... in this, there's a mitzvah to be a patriot and to help the country that you live in. And Jews have built up all the countries that we've been in. It's interesting. Some people have done a study that countries that have Jews have done well. And once they get rid of the Jews, they go to pot. You know, like look what happened to Spain and look what happened to all the countries that Jews were in. At the time the Jews were there, they were on the top. They were top countries. And then once they got rid of their Jews, there just was, Europe is like that. You know, Europe has gotten rid of most of its Jews. There's not much, it's third world already. It's not the place of the future. It's the place of the past. But Hashem is saying, though, that so Jews have worked hard, and then seen everything they worked for was taken away, or went, it didn't go to their children, it went to other places. All the wealth of the Jewish communities of Europe, the Nazis took, the Russians took, like the... Today, you know, if you want to go to Jewish books, so there's three big libraries for Jewish books. One is in England, the Oxford, or the, I think it's called the Bodleian Library. One is in Moscow, and one is in Rome. The Pope has those are the three largest collections of Jewish books and Jewish artifacts, and they all got them the same way, which is they killed the Jews or they expelled the Jews, but they kept their books. And so England got rid of its Jews and they kept their books, and the communists confiscated all of the Jewish books and the Pope when they confiscated all of the Jewish books. And so almost today, it's a really irony where the scholars go to get a hold of the ancient manuscripts. They're all from these places, these countries that that took our wealth. They took everything, and then they expelled us. Hashem tells us, though, this time you'll be able to plant, and you won't have to give it away. That's part of why it's painful when Israel has to give back, back territory. These are lands that we've reclaimed, and then you got to give them back. There's something wrong here. It's not supposed to happen. So Hashem says, this time you're going to plant, and you're going to. There's so much work to plant. You got to weed, and you got to remove the stones, and you got to water it, and plant it, and you grow the grain. So Hashem says, you know what? I'm in verse 8 here. Imeten es da od Michael Avecha. You're not going to have to give your food to your enemies. V'mishu b'nei neker tirusha, and your wine and your oils. Asher, you worked for it. This time you're going to work for it. You'll get to keep it. Verse 9. Ki masviv yocho, those that harvest it get to eat. V'hal, and you'll praise Hashem. U'mekavsav, and those that gather in the wine, the oil, you'll drink. V'chatzu kochi, and you'll eat them in my holy courtyards. Now the people need to come back, and so it kind of describes the people passing through. If you go through the gates, panuderek, you'll need to make new roads. Silu silu, make a path. Sochul mem, remove the stones so you don't trip. And nisa nesal amim, and you'll clear a path through the nations. Verse 11. Hinei Hashem hishmiya oketzei oretz. Hashem will send out the message to the far corners of the world. Amu lebasiyon hinei yeshev, that Hashem will tell the daughter of Zion, you're being saved, that it's here. Bo hinei skaru ito, and your reward for staying loyal to Hashem will come. 12. Ukor lehem am hakodesh gole, and the people will be called the holy people. Gole Hashem lacha yikra drusha ir lo nezva, and it'll be a city that will no longer be rejected. And so this is the beautiful picture of the Messianic times. And again, it's definitely a Rosh Hashanah theme of Hashem's love and Hashem's care and concern. Now, the other half, though, of the Rosh Hashanah theme is the scary part about judgment. That some people have a judgment that they, for whatever reason, that they will die, or they will suffer. Certain countries, certain peoples. So over here, there's a belief at the end of days that there will be a judgment, that the wicked people will be punished, and if there are people that have harmed others, we believe that there'll be a judgment. They'll be given. They've had opportunities to return to Hashem, but they haven't used them. There'll be a judgment. And it's described, the judgment over here. Mizeh ba me'edim. So to speak, we're going to see, historically, Esav was the bully. Esav was the one that caused bloodshed. He was the Nazis were from Esav. It was tradition, the Nazis and the Italians, Rome. But today we don't have any set people we can say who Esav is. But Esav is described as the people that were bullies, the people that beat up others, the people that harmed others, the people that were nasty to others. So at the end of time, it's described like the angels are going to be wearing bloody aprons, so to speak, from the punishments that they will give to these nations. That's part of the theme. It's a wonder how the Christians get around these prophecies. Like they somehow don't want to say that the evil will be punished. And again, that's part of the system, that just like the good get rewarded, those that aren't good are going to be punished. There's nothing wrong. We don't have to be ashamed of that. People that did bad are going to be punished. I don't know whether we don't have to torture them. It's enough that they die, or it's enough that they don't exist anymore. But those that are bad are people that were guilty of causing harm. There needs to be justice. So it says over here that at the end of time there'll be justice, and so there's like a vision of the angels coming from the land of Edom, and we're going to see them. They'll be shown like a warrior in strength, like a warrior coming back from battle against these evil nations. Ani medaber b'tzacha rav, Hashem will come with righteousness. Verse 2, but when we see these people, these soldiers of Hashem, Madua Edom, why are they wearing red clothes? Why are their clothing not clean? Verse 3, Pura Darko Levad Ma'ami Masher In Ishiti. It almost describes like people in a wine press. Apparently, you know, when you step in the bathtub on the grapes, so that you get the grapes, the wine press, the wine splatters on your clothing. So to speak, these nations will be stepped on. These people, the wicked peoples that have caused harm to others. Today they have what's the name of that government in Africa, that the Boko Haram or whatever, or the Boko? They're really just wicked people. They're just incredible. The people that, you know, it's just hard to understand what ISIS, like, you know, they just they seem to you know what they. I don't know how to explain them any other way. They feel they can go and harm others and torture others and blow up others and cut off other people's heads, and that's perfectly fine with them. And they're heroes, and there needs to be justice for such people. How does anybody tolerate that? How do they make others suffer in such terrible ways, and they as long as they call that religion, it's okay. Like, you know, they go and they blow people up, they have children and hospitals, and it's just incredible what exists in our world today. You would have expected that in the ancient times, where, you know, but today, where supposedly the great religions of the world preach, you know, love and kindness, but it doesn't. You still have these movements out there that are just butchers. They're just awful people, and. Scary is that even in the United States it's happening. There are people that just go out there and shoot others. It's still a shock. We should always be shocked when that happens. We shouldn't get used to that. Because how does a person who's not an animal just go and do that? Just go and harm innocent people? Like, it's so foreign to our... It should be so foreign to us that, all right, maybe some people can't be kind. They can't share. All right. But to just go and just go ruin people's lives like that? Like, what... How could it be? Did they walk on 2 feet? Like, you know, animals, we understand that's their nature, but why humans could just be so cruel and just go and try to hurt as many people as they can? And we're seeing it right and left. So the answer...
Animals kill for their own benefit, right. To get food.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. They're worse than animals, right? So there are people that need to face the music. We need to remove those. There is evil in the world. That's all I can say. It exists. It exists in our time. And so Hashem is saying that when the time comes, that this is gonna, the evil is gonna be removed. Al bigdal k'mashe agoli. I think today we don't know how to fight it. You know, sometimes it's easier when you could say there's this one country and you go to war and you destroy evil. You know, but it's much harder. When the it's strange ideas that are out there. Verse 4, Ki yom nakam v'libi v'shnos g'olibah. That's part of the redemption will be to remove from us these people that are capable of such evil. Verse 5, v'abit v'ein ozer, and I looked and there was nobody to help. V'shtome v'ein, so you know, you would have expected that this evil would be destroyed. You know, we always thought that we're part of the superpowers to save the world from evil. But v'zor v'chamasi, there's nobody standing up to them. And so Hashem says, Hashem is the one who's going to take care of this evil. V'avos amin ba'api, Hashem will trample on them. V'askirim v'chamasi, v'ori l'eretz tinah, and these victors, they'll be thrown to the ground. Verse 7, Chaste Hashem askir. We do, you know, it's almost like you have this paragraph that we have to know that justice will be served. That's not our focus, but we just have to know that the evil will be punished. It can't go unpunished. Verse 7, Chaste Hashem askir. Let's talk about the kindness of Hashem. Tehilos Hashem, Kal Kol Ashir Gomeinu, that the kindness that Hashem does, that He provides. For Rav Tuv LeBeis Yisrael, and there'll be much good for the house of Israel. Hashem gamlen karachamav, it'll be like stirred out with His great mercy and great kindness. V'yomar, and so people are going to feel it's not fair. And so Hashem says, Acha mihema, that's my people. They deserve it. They're mine. You know, that's why Hashem shows His special love. Banim, they're my children. Lo yishaku, and they won't be false to me. V'hilam the Moshiach, I got to save my kids. Verse 9. This is an interesting verse, that whenever we're in trouble, Hashem feels our pain. whenever I'm in verse 9, it's a famous verse, because Sarasam lo tsar, Hashem feels the pain, he's there with us. There was in last week's Parsha, it mentions Vehisi Gucha, that where it says in the blessings that they will overtake us, that when we do the right things we'll get the blessings and the good things will overtake us, and then in the curses where it says if we do the wrong things then the curses will overtake us. And in the word Vesigucha, in the curses, there's an extra letter that's not in the same word, exact same word, in the blessing. And the letter is the letter of Hashem's name. And what they say is that when, even when we've done wrong and we're punished, Hashem is there with us. Everybody knows, a parent, it's a parent never enjoys punishing a child. It's painful. Like nobody wants to see their child have a hard time. So Hashem says, "B'kol sarasam lo tsar." I don't know what that is. But and all the did Hashem knows that Malak Panav Hoshiyah, and Hashem will, with an angel or with his compassion, he will save them. Baba so b'chamla so. And with his love and with his caring, he will redeem them, v'inotlem, and he will pick them up, v'inosim kol yamei olam, and they'll be carried throughout the days of the world. And so that's the vision of Rosh Hashanah. We have a vision of justice, but a vision of Hashem's love for his people. So that's may we all be zocha to aksiv aksima tova.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.